In the next few days, we'll be exploring these realms of emptiness, the sense of absence at the center of things. And it's so hard to find words for sunyata, this sound of a beautiful Pali word, sunyata, that so often emptiness is the closest English equivalent, but it's very hard to name this absence or quietness or peace that isn't, it's not empty. It is, it's empty, but it's also full. It's also blossoming. It's aliveness. So it's something, but it's not something. It's not born. It's deathless. We keep circling with our words. But sunyata, sunyata, it's like the fabric of everything that isn't fabric. It's not made, it's not woven. But we can't say there's nothing here, because there's certainly something sitting here. There's a lot of knowing and a lot of feeling. But a little bit like the bird singing, we can't grasp it. When you try, there's nothing to hold on to. For me, there's something about a foggy morning in the forest that is always pointing to emptiness. I think that's when we're going to find emptiness, is on a foggy morning with the trees and the mist. But it's so difficult to talk about because it's not concocted. It's not built in the way we're used to things being built. And we live in this world of form, of these khandhas, aggregates is such a clunky word. But we live in a world of collections of things, all kinds of categories. The elements of earth and water and fire and air, these materiality, we live in the world of material things and also the world of mental things in the mind and the heart. But as we continue to practice and we see the deeper nature of things, perhaps as impermanent or imperfect, nobody owning any of it, we start to see that the essence of things is the same, and it's the sunyata. The Buddha kept trying to use similes, a lump of foam, a mirage, a magic show. There's all of these great meditators trying to point us towards the great fullness that is empty and full. at the same time and also not. How do you say it? In some ways, the birds are teaching us better than any words can say. So Master Shen Yin wrote a poem called Faith in Mind, the Ching Ching Ming. And so they say the duality of all things issues from false discriminations. A dream, an illusion, a flower in the sky. How could they be worth grasping? Gain and loss, right and wrong, discard them all at once. If the eyes do not close in sleep, all dreams will naturally cease. If the eyes do not close in sleep, all dreams will naturally cease. If we stay wakeful, all of our illusions, these false discriminations, will naturally cease. We simply keep stepping, keep breathing, keep aware. And the illusions naturally fall away. As Rebecca was saying, we can discover new stories. If the mind makes no distinctions, no discriminations, all things are of one suchness. To understand the essence of one suchness is to be released from all entanglements. To this ultimate finality, this unborn, this unceasing, the deathless, no laws or descriptions, no rules nor measures apply. So your practice is empty. Your samadhi is empty. All the measurements we make in progress, how open am I? How's my metta? How's my energy? How's my calm? It's all just illusion, these measurements. The Buddha's mother's name was Maya. And Maya means this kind of illusion. It's the same word root as magic. So this magic show, this illusion, this dream. When we start to see things like this, like a flower in the sky, this floating world, it's not that we care less. It's that everything becomes even more precious. We love everything even more because we will die and everyone we love will die. And it makes this old world so lovable. So worthy of care. Ryokan says, oh, that my monk's robes were wide enough for all the beings in this floating world. And so as the heart falls open into this emptiness, all there is love. It's all that's left. So again, in honor of Jane Hirschberg this morning, I'll offer you this. The heart's counting knows only one. In Sung, China, two monks, friends for 60 years, watched the geese pass. Where are they going? One tested the other, who couldn't say. That moment's silence continues. No one will study their friendship in the koan books of insight. No one will remember their names. I think of them sometimes, standing perplexed by sadness, goose down sewn into their quilted autumn robes, almost swallowed by the vastness of the mountains, but not yet. As the barely audible geese are not yet swallowed, even as we, my love, will not entirely be lost. I'm going to read it one more time. The heart's counting knows only one. In Sung, China, two monks, friends for 60 years, watched the geese pass. Where are they going? One tested the other, who couldn't say. That moment's silence continues. No one will study their friendship in the koan books of insight. No one will remember their names. I think of them sometimes, standing, perplexed by sadness, goose down sewn into their quilted autumn robes, almost swallowed by the vastness of the mountains, but not yet. As the barely audible geese are not yet swallowed, even as we, my love, will not entirely be lost.